Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. Now, this is a bit special because you're about to hear the 900th edition of the Serving Today programme. Over the last 18 years, Serving Today has been supporting pastors and church leaders mainly in developing countries. But we trust that you'll find Serving Today to be relevant, whatever your background and church involvement. Welcome to Serving Today, the programme for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook, and I'm delighted to be in your company again. Christian Basics, more on the living God. Helping a new believer to understand the basics of the Christian faith is something church leaders have both the responsibility and the privilege of undertaking. If the new believer is not grounded in the teaching of the Bible, then they could quite easily go astray and become easy prey for our enemy, the devil. Knowing, believing, and living out the teaching of Scripture is, to use a nautical phrase, like having our anchor safely secured, stopping us being easily tossed about, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 4. Indeed, he says in that chapter, this is one of the reasons why God has given leaders to his church. And in verses 13 and 14, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Well, here on Serving Today, we're going to begin by taking a step back in the experience of the new believer to before they trusted Christ, when they were wondering how it is possible for us to draw near to God and know him personally. This is to remind them of God's grace to them and help them when they seek to point unbelievers to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, from the time of Adam at the beginning of life on earth, mankind has been seeking after the answer to how we can come near to God. And as we think about this, there are two great problems that we need to appreciate. The first is that God is very great, and that we are not great. So what would God want to do with people like us? The other problem is this. The Bible teaches us that God is holy. He's absolutely pure and cannot tolerate evil or wrong in any form, whereas we are sinful and impure and all too often do wrong. We all have sinful hearts, so how is it possible for sinful creatures like us to draw near to God who is holy? As usual, we've the help of Dr. John Hall again, and when Derek French spoke with him, he began by asking if he could direct us to some Bible verses which tell us how great God is and how great his love is.
Well, there are lots and lots of them, Derek, but there's just two that I want to look at, just skim through. The first is Psalm 103, a tremendous psalm, because it points to so much of the love and character of our God here to encourage us. In Psalm 103, it says these things about God. Look at verse 3. He forgives sin, heals our diseases, he redeems our life from the pit. And as it goes on, it says he crowns you with love and compassion. Tremendous picture of God. Verse 6. He's a Lord who works righteousness. He's compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. It says later on he has compassion on those who fear him, just like a father has compassion on his children. Yet he knows how frail and feeble we are, like the grass of the field. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And yet it says in verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. I remember vividly how this verse was applied to my soul. There was a relatively young man had died, and we were standing round his graveside on a very, very windy day. It looked as if we would all be blown into the grave. And I read these verses here about here today and gone tomorrow. As the wind blows over the grass, it's gone. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And I said, if you really want to know love and meaning in life and in death and beyond, then you need to fear God and know the God who loves in this sort of way. And so for you, listener, life is short. But for those who fear God, God's love saves now and carries you beyond death to glory. Read that psalm. Then let's look at Romans 11, 33-35. Paul rounds off the doctrinal section of his epistle with praise. He reminds us that God has great wisdom and knowledge, that his judgments are unsearchable, that he's independent of his creation and people. You can't advise God. When people say, just wait, I'll tell God this, it's nonsense. God's so much greater than us. Nor can you bribe God by your good deeds. You can't make him beholden to you by what you do. God is God, and from him as creator come all things, and all things exist by his power and for his glory. Even you do. However you are, God will use you. It would be good if you came to know this God as your own personal Lord and Saviour.
John, seeing that God is so great, that he's all-powerful, he's sovereign, majestic and holy, how is it possible for us mere human beings to approach God? Because not only are we insignificant in comparison with him, but we're also sinful. Is it possible really for us to draw near to God without having him destroy us and to come to him with an assurance that he'll welcome us?
Yes, it is possible, and that's remarkable because God is so vast and holy that all human beings who have come into close contact with him have been filled with terror and dread. Even the Apostle John, when he saw the radiant and glorious Lord Jesus Christ, fell at his feet as if he was dead and had to be reassured not to be afraid. And so it is in that sense that we too can be reassured not to be afraid because we have a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ, a go-between, a mediator, who enables us to come with confidence and boldness into God's presence, even though we are frail sinners. Perhaps you could read for us, Derek, that text in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, where it speaks of Jesus as being the mediator.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time.
So Jesus Christ has made the way open into God's presence for those who know Jesus as their Saviour.
John, if we've already come to know God by becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, how should what we've learnt about God influence the way we continue to come to him?
Yes, when you think about how we do come to him in prayer, but in particular, we come to him in our worship, our corporate worship, together as we gather as Christians. And so in that worship, there should be awe and reverence and praise and joy. It's totally out of place to be casual or jokey or careless in our approach to such a great God, especially in our corporate worship. Look what it says in Hebrews 12, 28-29. Perhaps you could read that for us, Derek, please.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire.
So it points here to God's greatness. He's a consuming fire. It points to our attitude to worship, thankfulness. And because we are thankful to God, we should worship him with reverence and awe, with fear. But there's also praise and joy too in worship. If we look at Psalm 145, 1 and 2, Derek, please.
Yes, and this is a helpful balance you've brought out there. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
God is great, that we should praise him and delight in his greatness. The Psalms bring out also the exuberant joy there is in knowing God. For instance, in Psalm 100 it says, shout for joy, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise are just a few of the phrases there. Why praise? Why joy? Well, in Psalm 96 it says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. As you think about your approach to God, some of these psalms give us tremendous encouragement to approach him with joy, with confidence, with thanksgiving, and yet with that reverence and awe too.
Yes, I think that's, well, both those sides are important, don't they? That our reverence is not something that is morbid, but also that our joy isn't flippant. I think there's a depth there, isn't there?
There is indeed, yes. Mm.
John, knowing then that Christian believers can come to God and bring him our worship, how should that influence the way we live our lives each day?
Well, because God is holy, the command in the scripture is that we too should be holy. There should be holiness and purity, because God is like that. And this purity means separation from all false religion and from all in life that is sinful. It means that we should be devoted to moral purity and consecration in our service to God. Look at what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, reading from verse 14 to 7 and verse 1. Perhaps you could read it for us, Derek, please.
Mm-hmm. This is a very helpful but also searching passage, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God.
You see, again, the emphasis on reverence, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So as we look at God and as we know him, there's great joy, but there's also that reverence and there's that desire to please him by being holy. And so as this section closes, do you know this one true God through Jesus Christ? Have you that desire to reverence him, to have joy in his presence and to pursue holiness which pleases him? That's a sign that you're a true believer. If you're not a true believer, now's the time to turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ.
God's grace is truly remarkable, and his provision of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ has this great purpose of bringing us to God. Peter puts it like this: For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Every single believer has this wonderful access to God, to whom we can come with our worship and praise, and also our petitions and intercessions. How amazing is the love of God? Well, thank you for being with us here on Serving Today. Until next time then, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.